Sue Miller, the ending of the book, it's the moment where Mary breastfeeds in front of Tom, and that's it for Delia.
Mm-hmm.
Was that there from the beginning?
It was. I wasn't sure exactly how I would work it, and I can't even remember how I thought about it at the very start, but that was very much where I was headed.
Was there any problem getting there just in terms of what the characters were doing and how they might pull you away from there?
No, I mean, they were, because I was headed there, I made them the kind of characters who would be likely and would feel the need, in Mary's case, to respond to Tom as she does, and Tom to, I mean, in a way, what I felt about that moment was that if Delia hadn't seen it, it might have passed utterly easily, that it doesn't, you know, it's sort of his voyeurism, but he's not doing anything beyond that, and it's her great sense of just not being attracted, having lost a sense of herself as anyone with any notion of sexual attractiveness. And that had Delia not walked in, I don't think of it as wrong what they did. I think of it as emerging from who they are, as I established them, of course, as I made them. But I also fully understood that this would be it for Delia, that this would represent a kind of betrayal in a way that she had, you know, couldn't have foreseen at a time when she felt she and Tom had moved beyond that possibility of betrayal. And so that was part of the meaning of the book for me. So.
Well, when you walk away from that understanding that she has been betrayed,
mm-hmm.
does it become difficult even to write those final chapters with Mary?
No. I mean, I think that, I mean, sort of in a way that, It was hard to sort of write the end of Delia in that chapter. I mean, Mary, in the last chapter, you know, reads the obit and understands something of the way Delia's life ended. And you know, of course, wishes her only good things and feels this same return of, you know, the terribly painful guilt that she felt at the time. But, you know, Mary's life has gone on, and some of the issues that were just horrible for her in the course of the novel have been resolved by time and by sort of the steadiness, by her sort of understanding a part of life that she never understood before, which is the sort of the sense of being centered in family, the sense of the possibility of a kind of constant love, which is what she feels for her children and is what she sort of feels surrounding her with her husband, and the sense of kind of joy and ease about herself, I think.
But she could never tell Nathan.
She doesn't tell Nathan. And that's part of... Yeah, she couldn't. Perhaps she could. But I think, not having done it at the time, I don't think she can. So this is something that she still holds secret. I mean, Mary is someone who's been secretive all along in some ways, and this is something that she still has to have as her secret.
I got the feeling throughout the entire book that there's a wall up between her and Nathan. There's some level of communication that's not there. And I think it's more her fault, but mm-hmm. maybe not. I don't know.
I think it is, you know, that she's just not sure of any of her expectations. She's not sure whether she can blame him for the failure of those things. She's angry in some ways, I think. And while she also loves him and, you know, wants things to work out between them, there's a sort of feeling, I think, of slight... There's a kind of class thing that's at work, too. I mean, Mary comes from a very working class background, and he's sort of imagining this life, which she really has no voice in the shape of, and that angers her.
Do you think Delia would tell her children what had happened?
No. She doesn't tell her daughter. Her daughter knows nothing of it. I don't think she would at all, no.
So they would have no idea that their father, I mean, that obviously their response would be, told you so. Particularly the daughter.
It might be, yeah. But their response to what Delia says has happened is that this was too much for her, and she
right.
shouldn't have taken it on, taking care of Tom. And it's, of course, natural that she should, you know, just have made that decision.
And the decision by you to make Mary's birth pang so painful was part of the build-up to that moment of mm-hmm. trying to regain herself mm-hmm. through that strange... voyeuristic
yes, exactly.
Action.
I mean, the difficulty at the birth is part of the difficulty she has responding to the little baby named Asa. that there's this kind of nightmarish quality to all of it that makes it hard for her to, it would have been hard for her anyway, I think, given her personality and temperament and her lack of a very nice growing up experience herself, but this makes it the harder.
What I get is a sense, you know, in talking to you about the ending and how it relates to the rest of the book, that in a weird way, this is a plot-driven novel disguised as a character-driven novel.
It seems to me that character drives plot. I mean, there's a wonderful line from Flannery O'Connor where she shows some old Southern relative one of her stories, and the relative says, "Well, that just goes to show you what some people would do." And O'Connor says, and that's what fiction is about. It's about showing what some people will do in spite of anything. And I think that's what, if you don't have the characters down, then the plot feels imposed on them. But if you really have the characters down, then the plot emerges from who they are. I think it is a very plotted book, but I think unless I'd worked very hard on the characters, it wouldn't have been a believable plot. It's an eccentric plot, and it needed a strength of character in order to make it convincing.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that in interviews, like, for instance, when I talk to Ann Packer and sometimes other people, you know, when I talked to Ann Patchett, for instance, she said, well, the characters began, I don't want to say, you know, I have control of the characters, I understand that, but the characters in Run, for instance, began in a way telling her what to do, mm-hmm. whereas Ann Packer said, no way characters tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, the characters can't tell you anything because you have to engineer them in such a way to get to the ending you want to get to.
They still tell me things. I mean, they're creating them is still of great interest, and there are lots of surprises in creating them. But I remember hearing Grace Paley once talking, and she said, oh, well, someone was criticizing her for one of her characters, who said, you know, Israel shouldn't exist. The Jews were meant to be stateless. And this person got up and was very angry, and then Grace Paley said, well, you know, I'm not my characters are, they're not me. They're my employees. And I sort of feel that way about my characters. They're real to me. They're convincing to me. They do surprise me with some things, but finally they're my employees, and they do the job that I want them to do. That's why I start to write them.